Good morning. That was a picture of Emma. We're going to come back to Emma a little bit later. But isn't it great when teenagers lead the way? Don't you? I sat there watching it thinking, cool, Emma, you could teach me a thing or two. And what you see in Emma, hopefully, is a picture of that joy that just overspills, doesn't it? And whether it was through pens or bottles of water, we're going to come back to a few things that Emma said a little bit early on. Well, good morning. Welcome to the best day of the year. Who would agree with me? Anyone that knows me knows that I love birthdays. I have some good friends here. I make my birthdays last, at least 2 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe a year this year since I had a big birthday. But even in the midst of that, Easter Day is still, hands down, the best day of the year. And you agree with me, many of you. So isn't that fantastic? Why is that? Well, because surely if we're here this morning saying that at some point we made a decision to follow God, then actually our whole life is based on the day that is Easter Day, that brings truth and revelation and resurrection and hope. And some of the things that we saw earlier talk about that, the good news of what Easter Day actually is. I have to say, my little soapbox moment, and then we'll move on. I find it astounding that we do Good Friday outside, where the world can see us looking somber and with all reverence to remembering Easter Day. But why on earth do we do the biggest bit of celebration of our whole year indoors? I'm not going to go there. I've been on that soapbox for some while. But there's a challenge to all of us, isn't there? Why do we do it indoors? Why do we come and we raise the roof with our praise to God and in our hearts? And yet, actually, we come indoors for that. Surely the people out there are the people that need to hear it. But anyway, we're going to do our little bit about that. We'll come to that at communion later on and just think about actually how God can inspire us to be taking the good news and the joy that hopefully many of us sense to the people who really need to hear it today. Well, as I say, I love Easter. It is the best day of the year, and I couldn't wait for Easter to get here. Many of you will have journeyed through Holy Week at some pace, no doubt, through work and juggling children and all the normal stuff of life. But hopefully, you might also have been thinking a little bit about what it looks like, the Jesus story from Palm Sunday last week through to thinking about Maundy Thursday and on to Good Friday. And you will have done that in various different ways, if only even for a minute or two, or maybe remembering on Good Friday what it was really all about. But why is it that I couldn't wait for Easter? Maybe for many of you as well. Because it is good news, isn't it? There's a sense that actually this period of Easter, and certainly on Easter Day, our joy can raise the roof here today. Because actually it's the truth of Jesus coming back to life that overthrows death, isn't it? That actually brings truth in the light of taking us from death to life. And that for you and me is that, was it a song I think who said, Andy read out, that actually it's the truth of what's encompassed in the egg, that truth of resurrection of new life that can give us hope that goes on well beyond our life here on earth. And for many of you who've been through grief and lost loved ones, and actually that makes that revelation even more true, doesn't it? Not just for ourselves, but for those that we've lost too. So I couldn't wait for Easter to get here and all the anticipation that it brings. But I want us to reflect just for a moment on the Easter story and how they also couldn't wait for different reasons as part of that Easter story that we'll look at together. So if you cast your mind back for just a moment to that very first Easter morning, it was the women, wasn't it, who couldn't wait to actually go to the tomb. All four accounts of the gospel tell us that at the crack of dawn, it was the women who were just sensing this sense of unrest. And there's a verse that says this, using those words. At the crack of dawn, it's from the Message, on the Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices that they had prepared. Now, where did they come from? Well, presumably they came from a place where they were sat with the other disciples. I imagine they were all together, although they might have dispersed and gone back to their homes. But you can imagine, can't you, after the events of Holy Week leading up, which had started triumphant with Jesus coming into Jerusalem and ended in this mind-blowing change of events that Jesus was tortured, crucified, mocked on a cross, and it was proven that he was dead, wasn't it? They made sure that he was dead, put in that tomb where that huge stone was rolled in front, that no man could move out of the way, and they made sure of that. So after all of those events, I imagine they were exhausted, they were shattered, They were emotionally worn out. You can imagine yourself into the scene. My guess is that as friends who journeyed with Jesus, they probably did have time in a room somewhere all together. I think I would have wanted to be with the fellow followers of Jesus. And yet in the midst of that, the women obviously decided at the crack of dawn that they would get up and that they would go to the tomb. Well, I wonder why they did that. My guess as I put myself into that story is because in their immense sense of grieving and loss and pain and groaning at having lost the Jesus that they adored, that actually they just wanted to be near him, even though they thought he was dead. Again, for any of us who've lost people close to us, there's that sense of that aching, isn't there, where we just want to be even somewhere close. Why do we go to gravesides? There's something in that, isn't there, of just wanting to be close to the people that we love. And so my guess is that the women got up and they thought, I don't care. It doesn't matter if we look silly, we're going to a grave, to the big tombstone, but we're going to go. And they took the spices to honour Jesus. And like I said, all four accounts of the Gospels tell us that the women not only went to the tomb, but they hurried there even before the light had come in the sky. So the people that were there were Mary Magdalene. There was Mary, the mother of Jesus, Salome and Joanna, and they made their way to the tomb in haste before sunrise had even come up. But what did they find there? Well, some of these pictures might show us, of course, they arrived with their burial spices, but then, of course, they turned the corner maybe, and what did they see? They saw this revelation of this open tomb. Now, I wonder again if that was you and you'd arrived there, what would be the first thoughts that went through your mind? It might have been different things, again, as we're told in some of the accounts, or can read into the story, that actually they thought the tomb had been, the body had been robbed, that thieves and robbers had got there, they'd taken the body away. And there were various different ideas as to what they thought. But actually, as they ventured close to the tomb, you'll recall that what they actually saw was that there was no body there, there was no trace of it, seeming to have been a robbery of the body, but instead they saw the clothes that Jesus had been wrapped up in, the linens and the folded tablecloth or the linen piece that had been on him that had been folded, which also had a significance, which I read about this week, which apparently means it's a sign of saying, I am coming back. A folded piece of linen at the table where a master would have eaten surrounded by his servants. If he threw his serviette down, it meant he was done. But if he folded it, it meant he was coming back. Isn't that interesting? So it reminded me a little bit of the Terminator, but not quite. I'll be back. But anyway, it shows, doesn't it, that all of these things just went to fulfill the scripture and went to fulfill the promise that Jesus had told his disciples, hadn't he? He told them, I'm coming back. How did they not remember that? We may think they're stupid, but I wonder if we'd have been exactly the same as them, I am sure. So they look on, distraught. Of course, their Jesus isn't there. The pain and the anguish carries on, I guess, for them in that moment, because, of course, they think, not only is he dead, but who's taken him? Where is he? We can't even bring the burial spices to honour our Lord and Saviour. And then comes the revelation. We're told in, again, the Gospels, fascinatingly different, but so many threads between all of them. But we're told that the earth shook, that there was an earthquake, and the angel appeared to Mary and said, don't be afraid, he's not here, he's risen. And then shortly after that, we see this encounter of Jesus as she turns and Jesus calls her name and she realises that he's not dead, he's alive. Although I must admit, I'm sure if that was me, you'd be both overjoyed and delighted and yet have so many questions going through your head at the same time. And I'm sure they were no different to any of us. But they looked on in awe and wonder and Mary sits at the feet of Jesus once again. But she didn't sit there very long, because all the Gospels tell us that not only did they race there in the morning, but at the point of having had this revelation, this good news, they then didn't wait again. They got up, they'd seen Jesus, or Mary certainly had seen Jesus, and they decided that despite their questions, they wouldn't wait, they would go and tell everybody, because this was good news. All the followers they knew were in that room or in their homes, grieving and grief-stricken and bereft, thinking their life now as they knew it had no purpose and no hope. And so they got up. And they went. And they rushed back to tell people. What I love about that part of the story is it says this in Matthew 28. It says, so the women hurried away from the tomb. They were afraid and yet filled with joy. and they ran to tell his disciples. It says that they ran to tell Peter and John, who were two of Jesus' closest inner circle. And even though they were afraid of what people would think to their message, they had sufficient faith, didn't they, to share that gospel news. So even though they might have had those questions, even though they thought they wouldn't be believed, they decided to go anyway because they thought that this news of having seen the risen Jesus, even though they had questions, was worth sharing. Now let's remember just for a moment at that time, a woman's voice in the midst of the male voice was not one to be believed, not one to be credible, not one to be even given any sense of value to. And yet in the midst of that, they obviously thought, I don't care, this is big enough news to go and tell. And so the news had to be shared. They rushed back to go and tell Peter, John, and the other disciples. Well, I've called this message, Don't Wait, because I feel we've got a lot to learn from these women who, as we're told, were the first evangelists. It seems to me that Jesus honoured these women who had been servant-hearted and kind and loyal followers to him in his life. And so they were honoured by being the first people to have actually seen him alive, which, I don't know about you, but for the women here is a great encouragement to me in faith and in ministry and all that we can serve Jesus in too. But they took this message and they knew, didn't they, that there was no sense in waiting because Mary knew that she'd seen the risen Jesus. She knew it was good news, and even though she had questions, she knew it was news that had to be shared. They knew that time was of the essence, that their deep and desperate friends were grieving, and actually she knew that they'd be overjoyed by hearing news of the gospel, this good news that needs to be shared. And despite their fear of it being discredited, they knew it was worth sharing anyway. So I wonder how you feel even thinking of actually what would you have done if you were one of those people who'd encountered Jesus? Would you too feel afraid and yet full of joy? Well, it encouraged me to think that today, actually, we can too be encouraged to don't wait, not to wait, but to share with others what you feel in your gut, in your heart, in that Holy Spirit conviction within you, that what you know is good news, and to share it even if you feel afraid. Many of us feel a lot of intrepidation about sharing, connecting our faith with our friends, and even trying to think about ways to do that. But I encourage you today that this is good news that should be shared. And even though afraid, let's try and find ways to do just that. Don't wait also to seek out Jesus, to be ever closer to him. Just like those women, even though in despair and thinking he was dead, they just wanted to be close to Jesus. But we have even more revelation, don't we, that Jesus isn't dead. He's alive. And though our lives are packed full and busy, my encouragement to you this morning is don't wait to seek out Jesus and become ever closer to him. Even when the others around you might not wish to follow you, choose yourself to seek him out and become ever closer to him, even today. And in the midst of that, don't wait maybe to let this resurrection day, this resurrection joy, fill you with joy in a new sense, maybe today. It's always struck me that happiness and joy are so different, aren't they? We all want to be happy. The world tells us that we strive to be happy. And yet actually happiness is fleeting, isn't it? But joy is what sits in here, despite grief, despite challenge, despite hardship. And Jesus can fill us all with that joy even today. The truth is that people need to, even today, hear this life-altering truth, don't they? The world around us is challenged. It needs change. It needs hope. It needs joy. It needs revelation. So will we today have the gumption and the guts of the women in this story who sought out Jesus and didn't wait to share that good news? The interesting thing about this story, however, is that, of course, there weren't not all of the disciples felt that they had that sense of joy and that they had to share that good news immediately. You'll remember in the story that what happened was that actually lots of them had immense doubt. You can imagine, can't you? You've journeyed with Jesus. He's taught you what you can be. He's transformed your life. And yet then he dies. There's serious levels of doubt and dismay. And just asking questions, I guess, must have been very prevalent in those moments. And we're told that as the women went back and that they encountered the other men, the other women who would have been amongst the disciples and the wider followers, that not everyone had the same reaction. They hadn't seen Jesus. That was a big point within it. They hadn't seen him for themselves. But of course, they had doubts. And we're told about two particular people. Here's Thomas, for example, who says in John 20, he says, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand even into his side, then I will not believe. He was quite adamant, wasn't he? As many of us probably would be. And you will know yourself whether you would be that person who actually just needed some proof. You know, again, you might not actually value the voice of the women who came back, given the cultural setup of the time. But actually, Thomas was honest and said, I've got to see it for myself. And then there's Peter, who says this in Luke 24. It says, but Peter jumped to his feet and he ran to the tomb. So he did likewise. He stooped in, he looked at a few grave clothes, and that was all that was left. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. Understandable doubt, maybe, on behalf of these fellow disciples who saw Jesus. In verse 26, it goes on to say that even 8 days later, Thomas was still doubting. And it was only when Jesus actually physically encountered him that he had that revelation that actually it was real, what the women had said on day one. But actually he was still full of disbelief until Jesus encountered him. So for some of us this day, as we look at these pictures of the men, actually you might imagine yourself either as some of these disciples who needed to see Jesus, to actually have proof. For others of you, you might feel actually more like the others who actually have a real sense of joy at Easter Day. You might be sitting here today feeling actually your cup is overflowing as you speak. Actually, that sense of the Holy Spirit joy is in you, and that's brilliant. And we can channel into that to praise God for all he has done and to hopefully share that with those around you. But for many of us, we grapple with the truth, don't we, sometimes? Actually, life is tough. Things that are thrown at us actually just sometimes take us into really dark places. And you will know today as to whether actually you feel like you're wrestling or whether you feel like you're ready in terms of accepting this gospel message. The encouragement to all of us is that the gospel shows that people living however many years ago, 2,000 odd years ago, actually felt exactly the same, didn't they? Some were ready, some were on it, some were waiting to go and share the gospel, and yet others were wrestling, grappling with the fact that actually their dreams had been shattered. The messages that they'd been told actually hadn't come to fruition from what they could see. Their life felt empty. Their hopes had been absolutely crushed. And today you will know how you sit here today. Neither one of them is right or is wrong, because in the middle of that, what we see is a picture of how Jesus, who then encountered Peter and John and the others, was absolutely gracious and absolutely loving and absolutely understanding of where people were coming from. And he was with them in the midst of both their joy, but also in the midst of their doubt. So each of you will know just how you feel today. Well, we saw that little film of Emma's 14, and she was speaking there, wasn't she, about this sense of actually how her decision to follow Jesus had transformed her life. And what I liked about what she says is she said this. She said, don't wait to share the incredible news of Jesus with the people that God has already put in your life. But she says, do it in a way that is most natural and most comfortable for you. It was the combination of all of them, all of her and her friends sharing their faith that really changed the life of the people around them. In the book of James, which is all about discipleship, it talks about actually that this message of Easter, the hope of Easter, is not just for the few. It talks about us not favoritizing, or is that a word? Showing favoritism to people, but actually that the gospel, the truth of today, that resurrection truth is for everyone. The verse says, it says, dear friends, don't let public opinion influence how you live out our glorious Christ-originated faith. So it urges us, doesn't it, however we feel and however we need God's equipping and God's grace and God's love today, that actually we should not hold back in asking for that joy, asking for that courage, asking that God would equip us to not hold back in sharing our life, but also God's truth with everyone around us. Because it's Jesus' resurrection of and his message, isn't it, of a truth that, as many of us know, transforms lives, often gently, often without even a feeling of transformation. But actually that's where faith kicks in, isn't it? That we know, we take this message of truth and we know the journey of hope that we can be on, and we sense Jesus journeying with us day by day. And whether you feel today that you're in a place of doubt or a place of joy, then Jesus just extends his hand to us today. So we're going to go into communion in just a few moments' time, but I want to just pose the questions for you to just give you a time to reflect today. It's all well and good, isn't it, for us to come today and think, hallelujah, he's risen. And absolutely, our hope and prayer for each and every one of you and ourselves is that, of course, no one leaves today without having a greater sense of that joy that can be ours today to fuel you, to feed you, to take you into the rest of the week, whatever it may hold. But equally, today's a time and a space for reflection, of bringing yourself to a point where actually in awe you can, maybe in the peace or the silence, just say what you want to say to Jesus today and bring your life before him. So there's maybe three responses today as we go into communion. It might be for some of you that you have a sense of joy, you know this revelation message, it's yours, you've journeyed with it for a long time or maybe for a short time. But actually I'd encourage you today to ask for God to fill your heart and mind with joy in a new way, so that actually it's that overspill of joy and faith that will impact the lives of those around you. I was with a guy called Simon Gilbo recently. Some of you might have heard him speak at New Wine or Spring Harvest. He lives in Burundi. He's been there for 19 years. He's an amazing missionary man with him and his family. Could have been killed any day of the 19 years, and somehow God has brought them through incredibly. But in all of the amazing stuff that he's done in his missionary, literally country-changing missions that they've been on, about 3 weeks ago when a bunch of us were in a room with him, said, again, just trying to tease out of him what advice he would give us as people were gathered doing an evangelism program together. And he said this. He said three simple things to stay close to Jesus. And he said, the first is stay close to Jesus, seek him out. The second is stay close to his word. And the third is stay close to others. Very simple, a man of amazing integrity and God's grace. And yet those three things. So actually, if you're today sensing that joy, wanting to go deeper with the Easter message, then the message is simple, isn't it? Stay close to Jesus. Seek out that joy. Stay close to his word. Dig deep into the truth that he wants to pour over your life day by day. But stay close to others. Journey together. Very similar to our messages here from Carl would be proud, wouldn't he? Ever closer to Jesus. Developing disciplines. Share the walk. Create margin for Jesus so that we can share our lives with others. If, however, you're sitting here this morning, you feel actually life isn't rosy, life is downright tough. And for many of us it is, and for many of us it will be at different points in time. But the reminder this morning, I guess, is that God is forever faithful, isn't he? Forever loving, forever gracious, forever understanding, forever extending the hand to say, come back to me, or let me journey with you, let me equip you, let me supply all your needs. And his hand, as we said earlier, is held out for us. Ours is just to take it and to respond to him. And the last option would be, I guess, in terms of our response, is that for anyone sitting here today saying, yeah, I get it, I'm here because it's Easter Day, but actually this, the revelation of this message isn't mine, then my encouragement to you would be, don't wait. Why can't today be the day when actually you just open your heart and life in a new way to actually respond to the gospel and say, do you know what, I might not understand it all. Like the women, I don't really get it. I've got loads of questions. I may be afraid, but actually I want something of what this Jesus promises. And if for anyone sitting here today, you want to actually just open that little door in your heart to say, actually, Jesus, come and be with me today in a new way, then we'll be saying a prayer at communion that you can join in with to do just that. My urgency to you would be, so don't wait. Why wouldn't today be a significant day in your life to journey closer to Jesus and have him lead you on and lead you through the stuff that you two are grappling with? So as we conclude, we'll go into communion. But just to reiterate, today's news is good news, isn't it? It's great news. Hopefully none of us will wait to respond to that good news. Jesus, who took death and looked it in the eye and was ripped apart from his Father God. I'm always astounded thinking about those 3 days of Jesus in the tomb. It was the darkest time, wasn't it? It must have been. For Jesus, who was God, the Son of God, and yet was ripped apart from God in those moments. And yet the truth of the resurrection gospel is that Jesus smashed death, came back to life. And the reason that that is important to us, because it means that we can have life. now, we can have life in eternity, and we can have hope forevermore in the things that we're going on with in our daily life. So we'll have a pause in just a moment, but my prayer for all of us today was that we would all have the joy of the women who found Jesus to be alive at the tomb, that we'd have the depth of love for Jesus, of his closest followers, those who were mourning his death and yet went on to rejoice in his life, but that also we'd have the courage to share with the people around us and to acknowledge that he can equip us to share his power and his truth and the reality of his message both now and always. Let's just pray. Father, as we just enter a moment of pause, we just pray, Lord, that you might impress on our hearts and minds something of what you want to reveal to us today. Lord, our hearts just are lifted to thank you for all that you have done on this Easter day. We thank you that you can come and just raise our eyes to look at you with awe and wonder and gratitude and thankfulness and peace, knowing that you did what you did on the cross once and for all, and that in coming back to life, our lives need never be the same again. And pray, Lord, that wherever each of us is at today, would you encounter us, and by your Holy Spirit, just knock on our lives, that we might have a sense of where you'd want to equip us and inspire us and lead us to today. May we know both your love and your grace and your courage in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.